Yes, we go. There we go. All right, I don't know which camera. I guess I'm looking at this camera. Hey, you, and welcome. My name is Mike, and in this whole episode of the That Chapter podcast, I'm here with Keith, and we're in a haunted attic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it's very creepy. Yep. I'll probably intersperse it with some footage I took of the night vision cameras. But yeah, we're here. It's real. This is a real place, ladies and gentlemen. It actually does exist.
We've been talking about it for many a month now.
We have, and we're finally here. We're
finally here. This is it.
Yeah.
Over there is where the names are engraved in.
It's kind of, it is, it's less creepy than I was expecting it to be, if I'm going to be honest. I did think it would be a little bit creepier than this. It's quite nice.
Well, the lights are on, and it's also daytime.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should record this at the Hour of the Wolf. That
would have
been good.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
The old witching hour. Was that 3 o'clock in the morning?
I count it as like 5 p.m. because that's when I get scared. But it could be. you never know. I don't know what fucking witching hour is.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
It just sounds cool.
We should look up
the hour of the wolf.
The hour. I feel it's just whenever I wake up in the middle of the night. And
yeah, that's witching hour.
That's witching hour. Right, got it.
So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the house. The shit is real. The scary ball is right behind. The cameras can't see it, but I have a picture of it. The scary ball is right there. Keith says he's never moved it.
No,
is that correct?
I haven't touched it. I'm not touching that.
So, yeah, I don't want to touch it either. I probably accidentally kicked it when I was setting up the cameras and shit. I don't know. I got a feeling I might, like, I'm going to bring home some scary juju with me from this fucking place.
That'd be great, actually. Yeah, I guess somebody at my house.
I know. It's going to attach itself to me. So here you go. Right. So this is a very special episode of the That Chapter podcast because it's the first episode that's actually recorded.
Yes.
Visually. Even though I have a lot of footage from Salem and Boston of us.
Still have to put that up.
I don't have time.
I don't even remember what footage we got anymore.
The main one I remember is you talking for an hour and a half about the Salem witch trials. And I was just getting more and more annoyed that you wouldn't shut the fuck up. That's what I remember.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. I remember that well.
Well, no, what happened was it was like towards the end of the trip, and I'd like learned so much about Salem and I'd researched so much, and I felt I didn't get enough out during the actual time we were recording. So I was like, if I don't get out now, I'm not going to get out at all. So I kind of just like word vomited all this knowledge I had, which was very annoying to you.
We said we would do like a short half-hour podcast while we're here just to be like, recap the trip and talk about what we've been up to. And then Keith and Sig
talked for
about
an hour
about Salem's trials. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today we were reading your stories, listener stories episode, very special episode. So thank you to everybody who sent in stories. They're great. We won't get through all of them today because literally I think there's well over 20 stories have been sent in from fans and from the folks at home. So thank you to each and everyone who sent them in. If we don't get through them in this episode, because we'll only do it, it's the first time doing it, so we'll only do a couple.
We definitely won't. There's 32 pages there.
Oh, fuck. All right. So what we will do instead is we'll do this as a regular thing, either in the video or in the podcasts. We can do
sprinkle it in
every now and then. But they're great, so please don't stop sending them in because we really enjoy them.
And it doesn't have to be spooky either. Spooky stories are great, but we're anything kind of on brand, any true crime.
Anything just weird and creepy works out pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. Most important thing, I need to get my beer. Right. So let's.
Oh, something actually did. I was meant to say did something weird did happen in the house today.
Okay, by the way, I think somebody messaged me on Instagram asking if Keith's stories are true. They are true.
Yeah, they're deadly true, yeah.
Because I've asked Keith this question off mic.
Yeah.
Is he just bullshitting, like, for good stories to tell? He's not.
I'm not. And honestly, like, if I was, I'd make them better stories. Because sometimes it's just like, I heard a noise. Which is actually what I'm going to talk about now. But I'd make it way more elaborate if I was making them up. I have a vivid imagination. But yeah, no, they're deadly true. And there is just some weeks where you're like, and happen, and no, it doesn't.
I know, I was the one to ghost story last time. Well, actually, my wife, but, you know, I was there.
Yeah, that was good.
I was asleep. I slept through the ghost story.
So I was out of the house with my daughter, and my wife was in the house on her own, and she was downstairs doing a bit of cleaning, kind of pottering around, and kind of just forgot that we weren't here. You know, you're kind of, you get so zoned in and something.
Right.
And she was hearing footsteps upstairs, and she just assumed they were us, and then she realized, it's like, oh my God, they're not in the house anymore. So she was hearing footsteps. She came upstairs to the second floor, heard footsteps again, hearing footsteps in the house. Weird.
She heard them from here.
Yeah.
The ghost is in the room.
In here, walking around.
Wow. It was avoiding the insulation. Yeah. On the plywood.
He's going to ruin it.
Great. Do you want to do a Ouija board up here?
No. Yeah. Yeah, I could do a Ouija board. Yeah, I know. It's a bit weird. We said we'd do it last time. You're like, I'm not doing it in my fucking house.
I know. I don't mind doing it in your house.
I don't mind doing it in my house.
How can you do it in your house? I don't want to do it in mine.
We should have done it in Salem. That would have been time to do it.
Yeah, they warn you about that. In one of the hotels I stayed in Salem, it was before, they warned you. It was like, please don't do a Ouija board here. Or summon demons and shit. They're just like, they're fucking sick of it.
But that's the perfect time to do it. Like, they're hardly going to follow me home on the Delta flight back to Ireland.
You never know.
Maybe they will.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. All right, shall we get into your scary stories? All right, will I go first?
Yeah.
Do you want to just do it in any order? I'll do it in the order that they were sent in.
Perfect. Yeah.
So I'm going to do it with the first story I got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, I love my tangents. But fuck you to whoever put my email address on some kind of spam list. So I have this email address.
Right, yeah,
it's called mikeohello@gmail.com that people send their stories into.
Yep.
But it got added to all this like spam addresses. So literally, I have to dig through to find the scary stories.
Annoying. Yeah.
So whoever did that. Suck my balls.
It was me.
Yeah. This story was sent in by Ray. Ray, thank you so much for listening and watching. So, hey, Mike, I've been listening to your podcast and I saw you ask people to share if anything scary ever happened to them. I got something pretty strange that happened to me around 10 years ago I'd like to share. Around 10 years ago, I just graduated from university and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with my life. I had always wanted to live overseas, so I took a job teaching English in Japan. I was this young, 22-year-old girl moving to a foreign country, knowing no one there and not speaking the language. Keith is just blown away by her story already.
Oh my god. I'm joking on beer.
It's the ghost!
The ghost is strangling me.
So, the organization I connected with placed me in this small valley town surrounded by mountains about 2 hours outside of Tokyo. Before I was placed in this town, I was training with other new teachers in Tokyo for a few weeks. These other foreign teachers became my first friends in Japan. After our training, we were all scattered to different towns, but we would meet around once a month in Tokyo to catch up. Because the town I lived in was surrounded by mountains, you had to drive through these long, stretching tunnels that went through the mountains to get anywhere. I had made plans to meet my friends in Tokyo one weekend, and the night before I was supposed to leave, I suddenly got restless.
Ooh, this is where it kicks off.
Mm-hmm. I can't exactly explain it. I'm reading this for the first time, by the way. We did not do any research. We were just like, I'll swing it.
Well, I tried to. I asked you to send it to me, SD.
I fucking swear I did send it to you, but you didn't get it. All right, well, blame... The ghost got it, probably. Okay. You didn't fucking get it. So I can't exactly explain it, but I got this pressing feeling that I needed to get to Tokyo that night and that I couldn't wait for the morning bus as planned. I called up my friend living in Tokyo and asked if I could come early and stay the night at our apartment. I didn't have a good reason, I just told her I felt anxious to get there. She agreed, and I packed my bag with some overnight things and made it to the night bus. These buses were never full, so you could always just show up 10 minutes before departure and get a ticket. I got the night bus, more than half empty, and settled in for the 2-hour bus ride. The bus drove through the valley, into the mountains, through the various tunnels, and I started dozing off. I woke up suddenly, feeling coldness on my face. We were going through a particularly long tunnel just then. It was called Sasago Tunnel, and it was lit up with orange lighting that filled the bus. I suddenly noticed, Keith, are you listening?
I am listening, yeah.
These small handprints on my window right by my face.
Oh my days.
Oh. I wiped the handprints away and then noticed there were more prints on the window in front of me and across from me. Ghost children bus.
Ghost.
I looked around and there were no kids on the bus, just adults, and these were very small child handprints. It was very unsettling to see handprints on various windows, and I pointed them out to the lady in front of me, and she said,
"That'd be weird conversation."
Yeah. Hey, you see?
Yeah. Get away from me.
What was that noise?
What was that noise?
Oh, it's probably next door or something. That sounded creepy.
Yeah.
Maybe the camera. Oh, how fucking cool would it be if the camera caught a ghost?
Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. I'd be really disappointed if he doesn't show up. I have to wreck my head for like months now.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Okay. Child ghost bust. So, she said she'd been awake and hadn't seen anyone touching the windows since the bus ride started. We looked around, but most of the people on the bus were sleeping or not making eye contact. So we just kept this mystery to ourselves. We eventually exited the tunnel and continued on the way to Tokyo. I got to my friend's place, had a hard time sleeping, woke up the next morning to the news that Sasago Tunnel had collapsed early that morning.
What?
Around the time I would have been on the morning bus.
Oh my days.
Holy fucking moly. I'm not sure if the bus was there at the time it would have collapsed, but there were casualties reported. I later found out from some Japanese friends that Sasago Mountain, above Sasago Tunnel, used to have a village with a school, but many years ago the school collapsed.
That's good.
That's good. It's killing many children.
That's not good.
There have been reports on people hearing children's voices and seeing children's handprints on car windows when they drove through a tunnel, and it's speculated that these are the ghosts of the Sasago children.
These are fast children, man.
They are very fast sprinters. I always wonder if I felt restless to leave early because I somehow knew the tunnel was going to collapse that next morning. I also wonder if the handprints I saw were from the children who died on the mountain, warning the people on the bus to get out. This happened over 10 years ago, and it is the scariest thing that ever happened to me. Thanks for reading my story. That is Christina from Toronto, Canada. That is a good story.
That is a good story. I like that.
I really like that story a lot. I'm
chills, man. Got chills.
You got chills?
Yeah.
Fucking baby. But there you go. That's a good ass story, Christina. Thanks for sending it in. I wonder.
Just always, you always hear stories of that, you know, like, oh, usually I get up at a certain time, but something egged me on to like leave it early.
Yeah.
That was weird. What was it? Sixth Sense type thing.
Sixth Sense. Did it ever happen to you?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That would have been good for you. Could have riffed on that for a little bit and told a cool story about shit down.
As we said earlier, I don't tell lies. But yeah, but that's what she was saying there. Like, she felt restless. Like, she left earlier. That's good, though. That's a good story.
Yeah. Thanks, Christina. Hope all is well. Obviously, so don't go back to Japan is the lesson I learned from that story. And beware of ghost children.
Okay.
So the next story, I'm doing two. Look at me. Two in a row, Mike.
Yeah.
Two for Mike. Next story is from Fiona. Sent in from Fiona from Dumfries, Scotland. Thanks, Fiona. We are from Scotland, yeah!
Scotland!
That's my Scottish accent.
I love Scotland.
I've never been to Scotland. Have you not? I've always wanted to go. Edinburgh, you say, is the tits.
I love Edinburgh. I've been there twice now, and both times I've had a fantastic time.
That's true. I'm assuming it's true that you had a fantastic time. I don't know. Maybe you're lying. All right. So, hi, Mike. My story starts, promisingly enough. Oh, here we go. At a former Victorian psychiatric complex called the Crichton in southwest Scotland. Well, if we know one thing about psychiatric, it's all the best stories happen there.
They love their old spinning chairs in those psychiatric wards, don't they?
Psychiatric wards are something else. So the term Victorian psychiatric complex conjures up all sorts of images, but it was nothing like the cliche. It was actually a really nice place. Old Scottish architecture, beautiful gardens. I mean, really nice place, old Scottish architecture. This is oxymoronic. I'm just pulling your chain. Old Scottish architecture, beautiful gardens, and even an imposing church at its heart. Sure, the signs of its history are there if you know where to look. A staircase enclosed by an intricate surround of wrought iron interspersed with roses is actually there to stop patients throwing themselves 40 foot to the tiled floor beneath. You get the idea. What? A staircase with an iron thing around it. That's wild. So people didn't throw themselves off the stairs. That's mad.
That's crazy.
Literally. My job was as a night... Oh, okay. Sorry. So my job was as a nighttime security patrol manager. Balls on you, Fiona, where his nighttime in a psychiatric ward or hospital. And part of my job was to drive around the Crichton several times a night with the van windows open, listening for alarm systems going off. People used to ask if it creeped me out. The truth is, it didn't. The abandoned care home and former World War II airbase that I also patrolled were a different matter altogether. You just have a job patrolling scary fucking places? It's like...
Just waiting for noises and then go and investigate that noise.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
One bitter late October night in 2017, I heard an alarm activate at a building called Solway House. Of all the buildings, it definitely looked the creepiest. But I've been told that this is where the poor patients stayed. Maybe they thought, sod it, this'll do them. Who knows? I soon isolated the alarm and discovered the cause. A large spider walking across the motion detector. I sat down on the bottom of a staircase to write my report. And as I did so, I heard noises coming from upstairs. Much like you did.
That's it, yeah.
You've seen those ghost shows, one little tap and they freak out, but this wasn't a little tap, it was loud. It sounded as if boxes were being thrown around and furniture was being moved around. This was unexpected, because it was 3 a.m. on one of those glittering winter nights and when the sky is full of stars.
I'd be more terrified to be like homeless people or...
Oh, yeah, some crazy, like, racket or something. Yeah, of course. Yeah. By the way, I also have to know both are Christina and Fiona, their prose is very good. You're very good writers, both of you. I like that you read. It's good. So I jumped up and headed upstairs. I had turned all the lights on, so my heavy torch was more for protection. Once I got to the top of the stairs, the noises ceased. That was suspicious. Suspicious. I searched the top floor, every room, every cupboard, every toilet, but there was nothing. It had sounded like things being tipped over or thrown, but the rooms were in perfect order. Nothing was out of place. The windows were locked, and there wasn't a breath of wind outside anyway. Satisfied that there was no one else in the building, I went back downstairs to complete the paperwork. No sooner had I sat down, but the noises started again. Bang! Bang! Crash! Crash! I said a rather unladylike word, grabbed my torch and went back up again. Once again, the noises stopped as soon as I got upstairs. I checked all the rooms, windows, etc., just as I had done before. Everything was silent. I should add here that I wasn't thinking it was anything paranormal. I'd been doing this job a while and never once felt creeped out at the Crichton. It was a nice, peaceful place. Once again, I went downstairs, and that was when I felt it. Cold, static electricity on my skin. I've actually had several paranormal experiences throughout my life, and this sensation is a dead giveaway.
That's mad. It just must be drawn to some people.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, it's exactly. Because I've never experienced anything paranormal, as I've said multiple times, but I want to. But I hear people are, I don't know. Fuck knows.
Yeah,
That's my clinical diagnosis.
Yeah, like we've heard weird things in the house and stuff, but I've never actually seen anything. I'd love to actually see something.
Yeah.
They were really cool. Yeah. But yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm like you, just like, maybe I'm too eager.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. You're coming on too strong.
Too clingy. Yeah. Need to calm down.
Yeah. So it was then that I had the feeling of something right behind me. Following me downstairs. I say it rather than someone, because this didn't feel like a person, a spirit, something friendly. No, this felt all manner of not right. It's hard to explain, though. Once y'all felt it, once y'all know it. And should I read the rest of the story in Scottish accent?
Oh, please do.
I'd felt it once before many years ago when leaving a house that never felt right for the last time. The only thing I can think is, don't let it know that you know it's there. Don't let it know. Oh man, this. Don't let it know you're scared. This story is making me scared.
Yeah.
This is freaking me the fuck out.
That'd be like a good opening to a horror movie.
Yeah.
Just that sentence.
Man. I was, of course, and I'd watched enough paranormal shows to know the drill. I began reciting the prayer to the Archangel Michael in my head. That's me. I should add here that I'm not Catholic. But when the chips are down, you bring out the big guns. Once I'd reached the bottom step, the feeling dissipated. I finished my paperwork, and as I was about to leave, the banging and crashing started again. Enough was enough. Time to stand my ground. I went to the bottom of the stairs and shouted, "I'm too busy for your nonsense. I'm leaving now, so knock yourself out." And with that, I locked up and drove off into the night. That is scary as all hell.
Yeah, and ballsy as well.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I know.
Turn off the ghost.
Fuck off. Yeah.
Fuck off, loser.
Yeah. Give him the finger out the window. When I got back to the office, I spoke to a colleague. I had an alarm at Solway House. It was weird, but he stopped me. I meant to tell you, Solway House is haunted as fuck. Happy Halloween.
Oh, that was good.
That was a very good story, yeah, Fiona. Well done. That's a good one. Thanks for sending it in.
That was very, very good. Really enjoyed it.
All right. Do you want to read the kitty cat?
Yep.
What?
Kitty cat.
You like cats?
I do like cats. Yeah. Oh, and you met our cat today.
I did. I can put in a video here of Salem. Salem the cat.
Yeah, I like
Black
Philip.
Freaking Fred. Or Black Fred. Black Fred. Yeah, that's what I'd call him. Black Fred. I always love the name Fred. I think it's a great name.
Fred, yeah, it's a good name, yeah.
All right, you want to read the next story? The next story is sent in from Felicia from South Africa.
Hi, Mike and Keith. Firstly, love your podcast.
Thanks.
And obviously, your YouTubes, Mike.
Thanks again.
Oh. So, I used to get sleep paralysis pretty often when I was younger. Still do get them, but not as often and not as vivid. The whole can't move, can't scream, feeling like something is pushing me down on the bed thing still happens. Ooh, don't like that.
Oh.
I have three really vivid events that fucking haunt me to this day. Language. The one that really stands out was seeing a little girl standing next to my bed. Would say about 5 or 6 years old. Blonde, curly hair, almost like Goldilocks, but her face is all fucked up.
Ooh.
like she went straight through a window face first.
Nice.
And in this event, I see myself almost like an outer body experience trying to get away from her. I somehow fall off the bed and crawl backwards. She turns around looking at me and just laughs.
Ooh, that's fuck great. You laughing at, bitch.
The throw your head back and laugh kind of thing.
So ah!
She was going for it.
Yeah, she was having a good one. She's a real knee slapper.
Hey, you fell off the bed.
Yeah.
Jackass. Fuck you, loser. The second one that still stands out is, I was awoken and for some unknown reason, I got up and moved my bed away from the wall. And the eye of hell was underneath my bed.
The fuck's that? What's the eye of hell?
I don't know. It's just like a...
Scary eye, like Sauron? Does it look like Sauron's eye?
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to imagine the eye of hell looks.
Yeah,
like an eye,
ring
fire.
Of fire. Yeah, yeah.
No, that kind of,
that's what I'm kind of picturing. Yeah, yeah.
That's scary as shit.
Did you just watch Lord of the Rings? Is that
yeah,
what?
Exactly.
Don't know why or what, but it happened. And then there was a typical shadow man standing next to my bed, watching me sleep. So there is that. You guys keep it up. All the awesome stuffs. Peace out from South Africa, Felicia.
Wow.
That was good.
Bye, Felicia. Hey, nice. That's a scary story.
Yeah.
I have never had sleep paralysis in my life. Do I want it? No chance. No chance.
Not fun. We've talked about it before. I've had it a couple of times.
Mm.
Downstairs. Actually, we're right over where I had sleep paralysis. Yeah. Don't
where
like
the magic
it.
Happens.
Where the magic happens, yeah. I do lots of tricks.
When was the last time you, had sleep paralysis?
A couple of months ago, I'd say. Before Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. What was that one? That was the usual. Kind of woke up, pinned down, couldn't move, completely paralysed. And then there was like, it's always the same woman. It kind of looks like the one from The Ring. With like, you know, the long white gown.
Right. The kind of stereotypical like Japanese schoolgirl kind of zombie girl kind of thing.
I never see the face though.
Yeah.
It's just the hair is just covering the whole time. And she usually like, gets up and crawls onto my chest and just starts screaming. Yeah, terrifying.
The next one's quite long, but it's actually, I think I should do the next one because we're recording this in Keith's house in his attic in Dublin. And this next story took place not far away.
Okay, great. Could be related.
Yeah. Sorry, this is a bit of a... It's from Fauncha. Who lives in... I don't know if I'm supposed to read this out or not, so sorry. She did live in a haunted apartment in the Liberties, which is a very old part of Dublin. It's pretty close to the city centre. So during the 1800s, it was renowned for poverty, crime, and slums. My boyfriend and I lived there from 2019 to 2020. So most of this happened a few months in 2019, but for the purpose of writing, I'm going to format it in days. These aren't consecutive, but will be written in the days of the happenings to help with cohesiveness. So, for an introduction, my boyfriend Aaron and I moved into this apartment about 2 weeks before anything really started to happen. It's a one-bedroom apartment in Dublin City and a bit rough. There's a bedroom, a bathroom, a tiny storage closet, a sitting room with a balcony, and a tiny kitchenette connected to the living room space. The walls are thick, and we can't hear our neighbours or anything like that. She says it's very important, the context of not being able to hear
I'll remember
your...
that, I'll remember that for later.
Store that up in your old noggin, my friends. All right. Day one. Dun, dun. Aaron and I were sitting on the couch watching the TV, and my arm was on the back of the couch. I felt something lightly brush my arm and assumed it was Aaron. Then the sensation on my arm changed to a charged, almost electric shock, and I pulled away. That's like
we're
a similar thing
about.
That Fiona said as well. He asked what was wrong. I said, "Did you just touch me?" And he lifted his hands that were on his lap and was like, no. He paused after seeing the look of confusion on my face and said, "Why, don't tell me. My boyfriend is a hardcore skeptic, but knows I'm open to the paranormal. My favorite thing to ask new people on a night out is if they have any good ghost stories." I actually love doing that too.
That's a good, it's a good conversation opener.
Yeah, I love asking. I think I was in America and my brother's for Thanksgiving in 2022.
Mm.
I celebrated Thanksgiving because I was in New York at the time. And he had guests over and that was like the... one of the first things I ask. Yeah. After we had a dinner and we were just all sitting around a table drinking, I was like, ghost story time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've none.
Have you seen the ghost? Who are you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Tell me! It's like shaking him. Where are they? So, my boyfriend knows I'm a hardcore... my boyfriend is a hardcore skeptic, but knows I'm open to the paranormal. My favorite thing to ask is if I have any good ghost stories. Ah, probably just a ghost, I joked. About an hour later, we were snuggled up watching Spotlight on Netflix. That's a good movie.
Hmm.
When a bottle Sif that had been on the top of our microwave due to a lack of storage flew across the kitchen and into the sitting room. Sif, that's like it's like bleach.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, like it's like the thin, tall bottles of What else? GIF or whatever you call it as well.
I used it earlier, actually, in fact.
Wow, this story's so relatable now that you use it as well.
In preparation for you guys coming over.
Wow. We both froze. It didn't just drop and roll. It flew a good 5 meters into the sitting room and even went over the little metal lip that separated the lino from the carpet. What the fuck? Aaron started, and then we both heard rustling coming from the area it had been thrown from. Side note, I'd read ghost magazines like Take a Break when I was a kid, which I've never heard of, and remembered learning that if you ever experience something unwanted, you can tell the spirit to leave and that it's not welcome. I don't know if there are such things as ghosts at this point, but I thought it couldn't hurt. I said loudly, "Stop it, we're watching a movie." The noises stopped. We stared at the bottle of SIF, wondering what the fuck just happened. This confusion becomes a running theme during our time. Day 2.
Dun, 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 dun,
Aaron and I got high one night. I'm forwarding this to the police. We got high one night and went to bed. As I was falling asleep next to him, I felt a presence in the room. I didn't feel like bad energy, just something was trying to contact me. Now, I've never experienced anything like this before, so it could have just been because I was high. At the time, I wasn't... you fucking joke. At the time, I wasn't armed with the intrusion. So I tried to imagine a barrier covering me and my boyfriend in my head. Again, I'd read about this in crappy magazines, so fuck knows of the legitimacy of this. But as soon as I did it, the presence seemed to disappear and I fell asleep. That night, Aaron woke up and looked over at me. I have no recollection of this. He said, I was lying on my back, eyes open, staring at the ceiling. No, no, I can't talk right now. I'm trying to sleep. Go away, I said. I have no memory of this and no history of talking in my sleep at all.
Ooh, that's weird.
That is weird.
That's creepy.
He was still a little high at the time, so he fell back asleep and didn't mention it to me until the next day. Personally, if I had been him, I probably would have left right then. F that. And I would be in the same boat. I'd be like...
My wife does that all the time. Talking in her sleep.
Really?
Yeah. Especially when like she gets really tired and she like have
full conversations. Yeah, but does she tired, like talking in her sleep and stare eyes open at the ceiling?
No, the last time she did it, she told me, she woke me up and said that. Sorry, she was kind of tossing and I looked over, like, are you okay? And she went into a conversation saying that we need to sell the lawnmower.
Did you hear that?
No.
No, I'm not bullshitting. I just heard a...
Did you?
Yeah, not joking. Right here. Right behind me. I'm not bullshitting. I genuinely...
Play the tape back.
Yeah. I don't know if the microphones are recorded.
No, I didn't hear it. No. And I looked over, like, are you okay? And she went into a conversation saying that we need to sell the lawnmower.
So day 3. Dun, dun. It was 5:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Aaron was getting up to go to work. It was pissing rain outside and we were lying in bed listening to the rain and talking about how romantic it would be to run away to Hawaii. Our bedroom door has a small frosted window at the top of it. This is the door, like the inside door leading into the hallway or whatever. Hmm. It's pretty common in a lot of Dublin, especially. Yeah, it's pretty common in older buildings. The door was closed. So the door is closed and there's like a tiny frosted window. Is this because a lot of people who are listening to this or watching this are probably not, don't have it. Like most of the audience is American, I think, from outside. So we were staring out the bedroom window at the dark morning. On a dark morning, a warm orange light flashed from our hallway into our room. Almost like someone was deliberately shining in a flashlight at 5:30 a.m. in their side of their house.
Rude.
Hey, listen. You said it, brother.
Yeah, or purpose.
My boyfriend straight away jumped out of bed, thinking it was an intruder. He searched our apartment, but there was no one in our house but us. The light wasn't the reflection of a car or anything, as there had been no cars in the court outside, and it wasn't the same color as our hallway light, which is an LED white light. If he hadn't seen it too, he would have thought I just imagined it. Now I was starting to get creeped out. Day 4. Dun dun. You can do the dun duns for
dun dun. Okay,
thanks. We were on the balcony having a normal smoke when we heard the same noise around the microwave that we heard around when the SIF bottle flew the first day. I can only describe it as rustling tinfoil coming from inside the wall and soft knocking. That's creepy as shit.
Yeah.
We could see there was no one, nothing in there. So with a shaky voice, I said, "Stop it, leave us alone." The noise stopped. We were both getting considerably more uneasy at this point. I was working on the night shift at the time, so thankfully didn't have to spend the night in the place often. Aaron started to realize that these occurrences only seemed to happen when we were together and not actively thinking of it. Day 5.
Dun dun.
Thank you.
These guys are really considerate, by the way.
Yeah.
They're just like messing around, like scraping and knocking, like, stop. It's like, okay.
Yeah, all right. Fine. We had been out partying with family the night before. We stumbled home shit-faced and were asleep by 1 a.m. It took me a little while longer.
She's not painting a great picture of herself. It's kind of like...
I was high, I was drunk.
Have you got a job?
I think these are just figments of your imagination. Your crack-addled imagination.
We may have found the route.
Just joking, fiance. I'm sure you're great.
We're drinking right now.
We are literally drinking right now.
You sound like Greg.
Yeah. It took me a little while longer to fall asleep as I kept hearing knocking by our bed and assumed it was the neighbors. It was a weekend night after all. But you said you couldn't hear the neighbors. Mm. Somebody's vacuuming. In our bedroom, our bed is right beside the window and there's a slender IKEA open cabinet standing beside it towards the foot of the bed on the left side. Around 5 a.m., the cabinet I use for makeup and beauty products fell on our bed. Diagonally.
Ooh. Oh, shittily built, huh?
Yeah, or shit, it is like a Delph pot of coins fell on me, and the actual cabinet fell on Aaron's leg since he was sleeping on the outside of the bed. I woke up screaming as if I was being murdered. Now, I'm not a screamer. If something freaks me out, I freeze. But I woke up screaming like I was on fire. I'm surprised nobody called the Gardaí with that sibling for you. All the stuff inside the cabinet was everywhere. It was a mess. Aaron calmed me down enough to run out of the room. We were both insanely shaken up. We had no explanation for the cabinet falling. There was no window open and it was free standing. There's absolutely no reason why it should fall over. It is a shitty IKEA furniture.
Yeah, though. Who built it?
Aaron, you did it again.
He's probably high.
Since it was 5 a.m., we figured we should take the duvet out and try sleep some more on the sofa because we didn't feel comfortable in the bedroom anymore. As soon as we stepped back into the bedroom, we felt the air. It was thick and heavy and oppressive, like someone was screaming, "Get out!" at us. It was the worst thing I've ever felt. I stepped over the mess on the floor to grab the duvet quickly, and as I did, Aaron said, "Oh, shui." "What?" I asked, panicked. This is honestly fucking terrible. Mm. He took my hand and we got out of the bedroom and onto the couch. As we settled in with the duvet, he said, "I didn't want to say anything while we were still in there, but I heard something breathe in my ear." Did you see the light flicker just when I read that?
That's weird, isn't it?
I'm getting scared. Keeping this here. No, let's go record back in my apartment. Think raspy, struggling to breathe. He mimicked it for me. And my blood ran cold.
Probably all that secondhand smoke, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Stop smoking.
I lay awake for the next few hours on the couch, trying to sleep, while Aaron snored beside me. Nothing stops old Aaron. But I couldn't get sleep because I kept hearing knocking coming from our bedroom wall. And I realized then that the knocking I heard as I fell asleep originally couldn't have been from our neighbors, as our bedroom faces the outside of the apartment. So it's just the open stairway behind that wall, blocked by a railing for the stairs, so it will be impossible to reach. I've never been so fucking petrified. This is a good-ass story.
It is good. I really like it.
Aaron woke up around 7:30 a.m., and we were Googling things to do about the apartment. A couple of sites said to get some sage and Palo Santo sticks to burn and smudge the place of negative energy.
I have sage downstairs.
Is that the one I got you in Salem?
Yep. I haven't used it because, you know, content.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want the ghost to live. Yeah, exactly. You want to keep them around. Some sites recommended a priest, but I'm not insanely Catholic, so that wouldn't have been my first option. I didn't even know what I was doing here. Aaron and I are total idiots and didn't have the first clue. I read then that white roses can also absorb negative energy and that you should throw them out as soon as they've withered. So we waited for the crystal shop Dervish, sponsored by Dervish, in the city to open. I was planning on walking in and going to the guru or whatever and just break down and beg for help. But when we arrived, it was just a shopkeeper working and I didn't think they'd know enough. Also, I felt like I was totally insane. We came home with a huge bunch of sage and Palo Santo sticks and two white roses. We got the roses from a florist shop. They were like €5 each. I didn't want to buy those. You got to save your money when it comes to being haunted.
Yeah, yep.
Sounds that's a real keep move. So we call Duna Keith.
It's just being economical, you know?
We cleaned the apartment top to bottom to give a base for
that's a Scrooge
for cleansing the energy too. Somehow we managed to smudge the place and each other. This entails lighting the sage and walking around the apartment, tracing the doors and windows and saying incantations of what you want or don't want in your home. Aaron did the bedroom and told the spirit to royally go fuck itself and leave us alone. As soon as we were finished, with the light from outside streaming in the apartment and the smell of sage and Palo Santo, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was the most calm I felt in the apartment since arriving 2 months before. We collapsed on the couch and ended up having the best nap we've ever heard. It was like all the negative energy had been wiped clean.
Nice.
Problem solved. Mm. All good. Story over.
We actually have a white rose bush outside our back garden.
Not so for long, you know.
Not for long. She's my fucking. What's that? Should we have to? You have to throw it out once it withers, because like
yeah, once it withers, because it's absorbed all the negative energy, so then you have to, yeah.
Because I never cleaned it after like last summer, they all like fell off, and I'd let them wither.
Wow.
Yeah. So nice, that could be in it,
dude.
Yeah.
It's absorbed.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Cool. Nice. All right. Good to know.
Keep it around. Maybe we should bring it up here.
Yeah. Plant it up here.
Yeah. So we didn't think any of this would work, but we were desperate to try anything at this point. The white roses were completely dead by the next day. I threw them in the bin. So the next few things happened over the course of the next year that we lived there. Yeah, we didn't move out. We couldn't. Housing crisis, baby! We had no other choice than to wait it out. We kept smudging the place every couple of weeks to keep up a good basis. We found that the noises around the microwave were the warning signs that things were about to pick up again, so we kept an ear out. As soon as we heard the infamous wall tinfoil sound, we smudged the apartment yet again. I was asleep, so this is one random night.
Dun dun.
I was asleep on the outside of the bed, which I normally don't do since I still had bad vibes in the apartment at night, but there I was. Aaron was asleep beside me. It was the middle of the night, and we had left our hall light on, and the bedroom door was cracked open. Since the apartment was so shitty, there was a leak in our hall. We couldn't ever find the source for this leak. We'd called the landlord, but they didn't care enough to send anyone, since it always seemed to disappear after a few days. Every time it occurred, which was often enough. Anyway, so I was asleep, but something woke me up. You know when you wake up and you just know what woke you up? I somehow knew it was someone watching me from the hallway, and that as soon as it sensed that I was waking up, it like moved back really quickly from the door to hide.
Oh, that's creepy.
That is fucking terrible. Yeah. Remember, there's a leak at the moment and our entire apartment is covered up in nasty decade-old carpet. I heard squelching footsteps retreating as I woke up.
Oh, that's weird.
That's what I say. I call that no bueno. I took a deep breath once I realized what it was. What did you realize it was?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
I tried the barrier thing again. Yeah, Aaron again. I tried the barrier thing again in my mind, but this time it felt like it was out of range. Since the spirit was staying in the apartment, I felt like I couldn't stop it from watching us sleep. As soon as I started to doze off again, the strong feeling of being watched started to return. By now, I'm too terrified to move. So I whispered over to Aaron to wake him up and get him to switch sides of me. Fuck Aaron, fuck you. Yeah,
poor Aaron.
Yeah. Reluctantly.
Stand your ground, Aaron.
Yeah, exactly. Don't take that shit. Reluctantly and still half asleep, he did. A few moments later, Aaron said, "I feel it now."
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Mm. We didn't sleep much for the rest of the night. Once the morning came, though, it disappeared and we smudged again the very next day. Finally, moving out day.
What a relief. Dun dun. Sorry, I started reading.
What a relief. We were going to stay with Aaron's mum for a bit while we looked for a new affordable accommodation. But his mum specifically said to me, "Don't bring that spirit here," which is what we've been talking about. So I knew I had to do a closing goodbye, dreading it. We got everything packed up and down to the apartment block's gate. I had the last bags and I was ready to go. I took a deep breath, standing in the hallway, and said this. "Thank you for allowing us to share your space during this time. We are leaving now. We ask you to let us leave peacefully, and you can have the space back to yourself." Yeah, I wish I'd been all like, "You're an awful weird roommate, leave us alone," but I didn't want it to attach itself to me out of spite.
The ghost had his bags packed ready to go with him.
I was like, oh, fuck.
What? I'm not going?
Yeah. The strongest feeling of being watched washed over me. I was standing in front of our door, so at the end of the hallway, which is about 6 feet, and I could feel someone taller than me, eyes boring into me. It was one of the worst, most life-threatening moments I ever experienced. Even writing this gives me chills. I said thank you again, hoping that the ghost would be nice enough to disappear, but no, and left the apartment. We were on the second floor, so the entire way down stairs, I felt it staring at me from right over my shoulder, following me to make sure I left. As soon as the doors closed and I was outside, it was like all the pressure in the world lifted off my shoulders, and it was gone. One final postscript. Not important, but during the night when I was trying to sleep after a cabinet fell off the bed, I had this weird premonition dream. I've been told from a medium that it was a spirit showing me something. It was a vision of an alleyway in or around the 1800s, nighttime, and the silhouette of a man. I just knew this man was the spirit occupying our space, and I also somehow knew that he was advancing slowly towards a sex worker who was begging him for her life. And I knew he murdered her. Is it Jack the Ripper?
Oh my god.
Is this the Irish actor? Paddy Ripper?
Paddy Ripper?
Paddy the Ripper?
It's him, we found him.
Mystery solved.
He whittles potatoes into knives.
I think the spirit wanted me to know just how dangerous he was, slash is. I was looking into the story, into the history of the Liberties, which is the area, to see if there was any Jack the Ripper-esque murders like that, and I found out about the tale of the Dullaker. I've never heard of this before.
Never heard of either.
It's the right timeline, and there's an image used of a curved alleyway where one of the murders happened that looks exactly what I saw in the dream, which is very fucking creepy. Oh yeah, and we actually found out what made the cabinet fall. It was standing on four plastic legs, and the back one, the back right one, had been pulled out. We found it under the bed, stuffed in the corner, right where I would normally sleep, which is absolutely and unequivocally impossible.
That's
how it would get there by itself. Thanks so much for reading this. Thank you. Wow, that's great story, Fancha. That's fucking
that was really
wild.
Good.
That's a lot of fun, guys.
I would love
to know what Fancha's address was for the area.
Yeah,
we should do a ghost. Yeah. I wonder if we warned the people who are moving in or the landlord. Be like, hey, there's a serial killer ghost living in your... in your gaff, just
chilling
out.
By
the by,
yeah. I'm always so interested in like these ghost stories when like people move out, and I'd love to know the follow ups of like whoever moves in next. Did they ever experience that?
Or who lived there before?
Or he lived before? Yeah.
Did they like? Is this shipping going on for a long time? But as
maybe
we said,
that's why it's rented. You can't get him to live there full time.
That's it. Mm. But it's like what we're saying as well, that people have said is like ghosts maybe attached to people. So maybe it only appeared for her and Aaron.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, so if someone else moved in, they don't have that inkling for her or... Oh, seagulls.
That sounds like a human.
It did. get what I was saying. Anyway, probably wasn't important. Okay, so this one is from Sarah Lucentin.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for listening. Lucenta. Thanks for watching.
Lucenta.
I don't know where she's from. So we're probably butchering her name.
Yeah, I am sorry. Sorry, Sarah. Hi, Mike and Keith. I thought I sent this already, but it doesn't show up as sent. So I'm sending it just in case. Just a bit of admin there.
Yeah.
I love the show, and you guys keep me laughing whenever I listen. My scary story. Sorry. The screens after jumping. There we go. My scary story occurs at my job. I work overnight at a local hospital in New Jersey. She's from New Jersey.
She's from Jersey.
I was on the second floor in the surgical intensive care unit when the security guard, Chris, called to ask me why I'd left the cafeteria unlocked. So it's back in the hospital.
Man, fucking hospital, said it again.
I said that I wasn't in the cafeteria, and he said that he had just seen me there. I told him I was on my way down, but before I was able to get in the elevator, the charge nurse from the third floor called me to ask me to come down. I told him I needed to meet Chris downstairs really fast, and he said Chris was on the third floor and was just talking to him.
What? So, what the hell?
Yeah.
Who called?
That's so weird. So I knew this wasn't possible because the phone ID clearly stated that Chris was calling from the security desk on the first floor.
He's in the calls coming from inside the house.
Oh my days. I went down to the lobby and sure enough, Chris was waiting there.
Hey, Chris.
I told him that the charge nurse had said that that we looked at the security cameras and he appeared both on the third floor speaking to the nurse and sitting at the desk on the phone at the same time.
What the
That's
shit?
Weird. I made him join me when I went to the cafeteria, but we didn't run into my double in there. He was going to look at the camera footage to see if there were any other doubles, but he chickened out. Ah, man, should have checked.
Wow.
If I sent it twice, just chalk it up to my double. That's funny. Just chalk it up to my double did it the first time, and my sent folder didn't reflect it that I sent before. Smiley face.
Wow, that's wild, weird. Though. Yeah. So is Chris the ghost, or is the ghost taking the appearance of Chris?
I know, yeah, it's weird. I always find it weird when, like the paranormal stuff's weird when, like, stuff gets thrown around, but when, like, ghosts actually manifest some stuff into, manifest themselves into our world as something, that's always
I think you should just take Chris out and, you know, sleep him with the fishes, just to be sure. You don't know. All right.
Better safe than sorry.
You know? Better safe than sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Chris. Time's over. Well, you never know which is the real Chris.
That's maybe it, yeah.
They're talking to the ghost Chris now. How do you know?
That's it, yeah, yeah. Who knows? Could be, yeah, weird, very, very weird.
Yeah. All right, we'll do one more. I'll do, let me just look. I might do this Kirsty K. Harris one. Because I don't want to do a long one. Oh, that's a good one, actually, from Dario. Sorry, I'll do this Kirsty K. Harris one. See what's going on here. Okay, so this next story, sorry guys, we're not going to get to all of the stories because I've got a lot, but you know, we'll save some for the next episode when we do another listener story. So, hi Mike and Keith, I absolutely love your podcast. It's my Monday morning treat. Little treat for your Monday morning. All right. When Keith speaks about his haunted house,
we're in it right now.
And you asked for stories, I thought I had to email in. This may not get read, but here goes. Well,
we're reading it.
Listen, your wildest dreams are just coming true. It's getting red.
Dream bigger.
Yeah. No, this is good. So when I found out I was pregnant with my daughter at 21, myself and my ex-partner decided to get our own place. We found a nice tree bed semi in my town of Long Eaton, Nottingham. I was just around the corner from my closest family, walking distance to town, just perfect. We began furnishing the home, making a nursery for baby girl. Then things started happening. You can keep going. You can do it while I talk.
Wait, okay, go ahead.
Okay. I kept losing things. We decided to sit in the front room and watch Top Gear on a Sunday night. It was the episode where Richard and James spend the night in a car in haunted woods. Just as they got a fright, spooky, the TV exploded. Flames came out of the back. It was terrifying. That is terrifying. Hey, listen, safety hazards, fire safety, it's no joke, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we have a lot of fun here on That Chapter, but we need to talk more about fire safety. Guys, you know, back in the 70s, it took a house 5 minutes to go on fire. Now it takes 5 seconds. So,
facts.
You really can't ever not have an extinguisher.
It's true, and those are statistics.
Do you know why that used to happen? Right. Because back in the day in the 70s, all the furniture was covered in asbestos.
Our shed is covered in asbestos.
Is this place covered in asbestos?
No,
okay.
No, here's
see, asbestos is a fire retardant.
So this place will burn to the ground, but our shed will be fine.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, our patio furniture
is out. I think getting cancer is better than getting fire.
That is true. So. But it's one of the things, asbestos, it's like once it's in the roof, as long as you don't move it or touch it.
It's the dust.
Yeah, it's once you start like hammering away at it or you knock it and you start you start cutting stuff
maybe
down.
Scared of
it. Ooh, sorry.
Yeah.
Once it goes into your lungs and stuff, that's
yeah, that's when you get effed in the bee.
But if it's in the roof and you leave it, you don't touch it, don't even look at it.
Mm-hmm. So we should really bring back asbestos the point here, because we need more fire slower downers.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyways.
Fire slower downers.
So, the TV exploded. Wow. Mm. Scary. Ooh.
Wow, what a great story.
Yeah. Once our daughter was born, we had her sleeping in a room, baby monitor at the side of the bed. One night, we woke to the sound of laughter coming through the monitor. Ladies and gentlemen, our daughter was 2 months old, and this was a child's laugh. We looked at each other, and I was made to go to... And I love how she writes this. I was made to go to her room, and she was saying, the husband was like, get her! And the partner was like, hey, you go check it.
Go call. I wouldn't do it here.
Yeah. But she was fast asleep. Another night, we heard what sounded, and this is the only way I can describe it, like an injured bird flapping along the floor. Coming down the hallway from daughter's room and towards our room, there was nothing there. Both of us started feeling uneasy. He is a member of a spiritualist church, so we invited his Nana over, and she is like a medium spiritualist person. She went to the nursery, and a picture on the wall of a little girl playing made her shake. I swear she went pale and said, get this out of the house. The picture was in that room when we moved in, and seeing as the room was pink and going to be a baby's room, we thought we would just leave the picture there. We took it out of the house and hoped all would be okay. We were wrong. more stuff started going missing. We began seeing things that weren't there. One day, I mentioned wanting to go to the loft space that was a little cubbyhole in our bedroom. Being young, we didn't actually own a ladder, because only old people own ladders. Mm. So,
I have a stepladder.
You have a stepladder?
Yeah.
I didn't even have that.
It's not my real ladder, it's my stepladder.
Yeah. Nice. Not your biological ladder. So my partner and his mate put furniture on furniture, and my partner opened the hatch. This is fucking the start of a horror story. Mm. Horror stories already started. He shone his light around in this little loft mini attic space, and then all of a sudden he fell, not touching the furniture, and running out of the cubbyhole. He was as white as a ghost. Upon climbing up myself and looking around, I saw what made him fall. I know what it's going to be. I haven't even read this story before, and I know it's going to be the picture, right? From the rafters in the attic. Oh, no, okay, I was wrong. From the rafters in the attic hung a noose. What?
That's funny. I don't even need to read it. I'll tell you how it ends.
Well, okay, well, it's a noose. I wasn't expecting a fucking noose to be hanging in the attic. First of the year, full of surprises. So I have always a noose hanging in her cubbyhole.
That's weird.
In the loft.
That's fucked up. Yeah.
So I closed the hatch, went downstairs, and began searching for houses online straight away to houserealty.com.
Yep.
We moved out the very next month. Hope you got your deposit back. Sometimes you drive past and I still get shivers every time. This is actually a terrifying story. Like, seriously,
it is
news.
Composer again. Okay.
Sorry, I gotta get spooky again. I never looked into any crimes that may have happened at the property. To be honest, I just don't want to know. My partner, well, he is my ex-partner now, has experienced spooky things before. His granddad visited the night after he died. Jesus, yeah. I never believed in anything like this, but after things that happened in the house, I genuinely believe that this place was haunted by a noose. Sorry I'm not better at explaining it as well as Mike could. You did a great job, Kirsty. But yeah, that's my haunted house story, and to this day, the scariest paranormal event I've ever experienced. Take care and keep up the amazing work of entertaining us all. Lots of love, Kirsty Aist. And lots of love from me and Keith to you, Kirsty.
Yeah, good.
That's
story, Kirsty.
Terrifying. Okay, I was not expecting that. I thought it was me, the picture. That's like classic horror thing. The picture comes back.
The noose is definitely scarier, though.
The noose is a shitload scarier than a friggin' picture.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, too?
You heard that, yeah.
Yeah, like a creak or something? We have so many other stories to get to, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. This is already an hour long. So I think we will wrap it up there.
Yeah, we got stuff to do.
We do, actually. Yeah. I'm hungry.
I got to chill.
Oh, full body chills. Chill there, man. Yeah. All right. Folks, thanks so much for listening. And thank you so much to everybody who sent in a story. They're all amazing. Really, really good stories. Yeah. Genuinely very, very quite terrifying. Me and Keith are reading these in a haunted attic.
Keep them coming.
My watch is telling me it's time to stand. So that means it's time to go. But yeah, we're reading this in the haunted attic. So hopefully, you know what? You never know. Maybe the people who are watching this on YouTube might see something in the video, or people who are listening to it, wherever you're listening to it, maybe you'll hear something.
Hear some knocking.
Oh, the fuck is that? Oh,
don't watch the video.
All right. Yeah, exactly. We didn't do anything to the video. That's mysterious knocking. All right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. New episode of That Chapter Podcast is out every single Monday, so please give it a go wherever you get your podcasts. And new episodes of the That Chapter regular show every Tuesday and almost every Friday, so please check it out if you can, when you can. But
nailed it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if Keith says I nailed it, then I nailed it. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye.
See ya.